Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal services for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you are involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
So you really believe that UFOs exist? Why?
Well, I think the preponderance of anecdotal evidence from pilots, from law enforcement people, from people who've had experiences and sightings. I think also my own experience, what I saw and what I feel. Mm-hmm. They're here. They're looking at us in a petri dish, and I've got to say, the way mankind is behaving, they're probably very disappointed.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen. We are going to examine the UFO phenomenon tonight. And actually, this is a two-part show. We're going to be doing the same or some further examination next week. That, of course, was Dan Aykroyd from Saturday Night Live. And he is a ufologist. He's an enthusiast. He loves the topic and is ingrained in it. We also have a guest here today, my brother, Dr. John Viviani. He also is an enthusiast. He's a dentist in Huntington, and he has been reviewing and a fan of this genre for the past 30 years. Let's take a serious look, if we can, today at the possibility of UFOs, and is there a reason to take this seriously? The genre started in 1947, quite frankly, with an incident that occurred in Roswell, Nevada, and thereafter the creation of Area 51. A gentleman by the name of Bob Lazar allegedly was involved with reverse engineering UFOs that are kept in the Area 51 and worked there in 88 and 89. Let's take a listen and see what he has to say about the subject.
At the hangar, I witnessed a recovered alien spacecraft that the Department of Naval Intelligence in the United States was back engineering.
Alleged U.S. government physicist Bob Lazar goes public and claims he is reverse engineering alien spacecraft at Area 51.
And I'll turn to the doctor here and ask him, what is the significance of Bob Lazar and what does it mean to be reverse engineering anything?
Well, the significance is that he allegedly worked at Area 51, and back engineering means taking an existing technology that you don't know what it is and trying to figure out how to make it work. And he claims that he was working on a craft there trying to figure out its propulsion system.
And didn't he have some discussion or some evaluation of what's called an atomic weight fuel of 115?
Yes.
What does that do?
Well, apparently he claims that if you bombard that with protons, the atomic weight is the amount of protons in a molecule. If you bombard that with protons, it becomes very unstable and we will give off a tremendous amount of energy, and that allowed them supposedly to use that as a propulsion system.
And it creates a small gravity field that allows you to, the gravity would then bring you along through space.
Right. So, okay, I want to believe that UFOs exist from other worlds. I really do, because I've been fascinated myself since I was a kid. But so, John, tell me, I want to be convinced. Tell me why I should believe this. So this guy, for instance, I don't mean to refer to him as a guy, but Bob Lazar was able to do this. Why wasn't it big news? Why didn't it change the world?
Well, it was big news, but he was had a lot of pressure on him from the government. He was shut down, basically. They tried to discredit him. They tried to say that he didn't work there. So there was a lot of controversy when he came out. And he did hook up with a fellow named John Lear, who you may know the name of Lear Jets. His father invented
sure.
the Lear Jets.
Yep.
And they were able to actually try and look at UFOs coming out of Area 51 from the desert at night.
Well, let's hear from John Lear himself and see what he has to say.
According to Lear, Lazar used to take him on late-night excursions to the outskirts of Area 51 to watch flying saucer tests.
You saw a flying saucer at Area 51?
No doubt about it. I saw a flying saucer. It was radiating yellow and gold. Bob Lazar told me when it was going to be there, and it was there.
So that's a clip of this gentleman speaking about Bob Lazar. So, I mean, this John Lear, just as far as credibility is concerned, he's flown over 150 test aircraft and won every award presented by the FAA. And, again, so he got together with Lazar and did what? What is that clip? What's he explaining? What did Lazar do with him?
Didn't he Lazar claimed that the government was actually testing UFOs. So they were alien UFOs, but we were test flighting them. And he knew the schedule of when the tests would occur. So they would go out and say, okay, at X time, this is going to happen. And they went out and looked and supposedly saw.
So I think what we're saying is that at night, one night, John Lear and Bob Lazar went out there. And let's just make it up. At 8:02 on Friday nights, they fly these alien spacecraft in a test manner.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened, supposedly.
Right. And John Lear was also a CIA pilot. He was, you know, he has a lot of credentials.
So why would he come out and speak about this?
I don't know why he would make it up. It wasn't for financial gain. They were both under a lot of heavy scrutiny and ridicule, frankly.
So is it just some cover-up, some just monstrous cover-up of all these stories that we're going to be hearing?
I think there is not only is there a cover-up, but I think there's disinformation as well. The government will put out wild stories from uncredible witnesses, and the media picks up on that and says, oh, well, you're a crackpot. So disinformation is a very important part of these stories, I think.
Interesting. If we take a look back at the history of this, we can go back a little bit to the 1968 book and the 72 movie of Chariots of the Gods. That was a seminal moment, if you will, of this genre.
The screen in a startling new film. Chariots of the Gods explores von Däniken's controversial and explosive theory that beings from other galaxies visited Earth in ancient times.
Now, that was a book, and as I said, a movie later on, that back in the day, back again in the area of 68 to 72, finally the general public that was interested in this topic took the topic seriously, at least to examine what, quote, evidence he presented in this format. What are some of the things that he presented?
Oh, they had a lot of things in Peru. There were some they call landing strips in Peru. It looked like only things you can only see from the air. They had drawings of things that looked like animals, that the locals were doing tributes to. What the fascinating thing was, they can only be seen from air, and they were ingrained in the ground, large structures.
But now, remember, though, we're talking about these landing strips, which if you look from a helicopter, clearly look like a landing strip, and some message, you know, an emblem, if you will, of a tiger or whatever it might be, can only be seen from the air. But let's go more importantly, they were built in the days of I think it was somewhere around 700-800. So there was nothing that flew back then. So why were they creating this type of architecture, if you will?
Why and how did they do it, too?
I guess that's another aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that the general public, and I'll speak for the general public, I think the impression that, what was the term you used? UFOers? Is that what it's? UFOists?
Yeah. Ufologists.
Ufologists.
Yes.
That's a new term.
Get it straight.
Just want to make, yeah, politically correct. I want to slur the ufologists. I think one of the bad names that you're getting is because everything that can't be explained is immediately attributed to a UFO, when there could be other explanations. So crop circles, these ancient landing strips, the first thing you hear from ufologists is, oh, it's a UFO, it's an alien. So I don't know. To me, it just seems that if there was a better explanation or other theories that were kind of, you know, put out there, that people might get more interested in this. What do you think?
Well, I think as far as the interest is concerned, you tell me, Doctor, as far as I know, if you turn on television now, and any cables, or go through your cable stations, your 500 stations you have, quite a number of stations are promoting and showing programs of UFO documentaries or of UFO examinations, the most popular of which right now is Ancient Aliens, which is a tremendous show. What other shows are out there right now?
Well, there was recently UFO Hunters was a great one. That would they would take different cases and go and explain. As far as the theories go, 95% of UFOs are explained as whatever they may be. There's a good 5% that they just don't know what it is. So, when the bad seeds out there, what gives it a bad name, you know. But those shows on TV do try and go into more detail.
And remember, back in the 60s, there was a show, actually the 70s, was a show that looked at the government's involvement in UFOs in terms of the Blue Book Project. The Blue Book Project was the government investigating UFOs, and there was a television show that recreated those, and they said, yeah, 99% of these we explain. But what's happening with this 1%? Where do we go with this? Remember that we are looking to have a discussion of UFOs tonight, and we're going to discuss it next week. Join us on Everything Old is New Again. We're going to come right back after the commercial and get into some more details of what's happening with UFOs today.
This portion of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or are trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
In a recent Gallup poll, 15 million Americans claim to have seen a UFO. 15 million. The same poll showed that 51% of the adult population is convinced that flying saucers are real. Perhaps it's time to approach the question of UFOs again, without bias. For we can only hope that if we are being studied by aliens, it is with more thoroughness and care than we have focused on them.
That's Leonard Nimoy from 1975, the classic In Search Of. I just want to take a moment just to talk about how our culture or television has evolved on this subject before we get a little bit further, just for a moment. I mean, back in the 60s, this subject was treated with ridicule with shows such as My Favorite Martian. Anybody remember that one?
Sure.
Yeah. And
that wasn't real?
I mean, that was a show where a Martian lived with another fellow.
Bill Bixby. Bill Bixby.
The zany adventures and then In Search Of and as we spoke about Chariots of the Gods, gave this some credibility, as did the Project Blue Book series. But, Doctor, what did you say in the break about the Project Blue Book show? Or I shouldn't say show, but the government.
Oh, no, the government Project Blue Book was was a bunch of they proved it to be some disinformation coming from Project Blue Book. It was supposed to be an unbiased study about it, and they it was sort of that some people think there's a cover up involved with that.
Well, I mean, back in the 60s and again 70s, this was just starting to gain speed and gain some interest with the general public. This is the time or thereabouts, a little thereafter, that this fellow that you spoke about, Bob Lazar, was doing this back engineering of UFOs, allegedly, in the late 80s at Area 51. What, if anything, came, if you will, from back engineering, if it even existed, of UFOs?
Well, they said one of the main things is stealth technology, the stealth fighter plane.
Okay, so what is the stealth fighter plane? Why would that be something from UFOs?
Well, it's like the fixed wing. It had the radar. It's undetectable from radar. It's basically, you know, flies under the radar. Not under the radar. Radar bounces off of it. Basically.
So it came about in the 90s, and it was something that was beyond our, allegedly, the thought is beyond our technology.
Faster than we normally would have progressed, I think.
Okay, and so it came about from reverse engineering allegedly a UFO that, let's just get it straight, he claims there are 8 UFOs in Area 51 that crash landed in one fashion or another and have been brought to that area in the country. Is that correct?
That's what he claims.
All right, so there's some issue of credibility here. I don't know if Dave
Right, well, look, here's my thing. Now, listen, just because Mr. Spock is talking seriously about UFOs doesn't give it any more weight to me, but I guess to a lot of people it did, whenever that show was.
Well,
but
he wasn't wearing his ears when he was on the show. I mean, you know, so he, you know, or the uniform. So he was
How do you know? Do you remember?
He could have been. I've seen the quote. I've seen the clip.
But really, when I see clips, right, you go to YouTube, you see clips of UFOs, alleged UFOs, flying saucers, the like. It's always, you know, really blurry, or it's at night. Or see, what I'm struggling with right now is that you flash forward to today, okay, the last 10 years, everybody is taking selfies, and they've got video cameras going on their cell phones all the time. That's all people do anymore. So what I'm struggling with is, with technology the way it is now, why hasn't any more of a clear image or video been captured?
Well, actually, I'm going to cut into that answer because we're going
Why,
to go to a
though?
Clip.
Why do you have to cut into
I have
the
to cut into that. A very relevant clip, and then we'll give it to the doctor, from Gordon Cooper, who was a Mercury and Gemini astronaut who claims to have seen UFOs in 51 and thereafter claims to have taken pictures, and his crew took pictures of same. He gave those pictures to the government in the hopes of blowing this whole story open, if you will, and he never saw those pictures again and never saw any of this involvement of the government. So, again, he's a man of credibility, I would think, as an astronaut circling the Earth and so forth. Let's hear what he has to say.
I've read about this incident you had in 1951, and you said you saw literally hundreds of unidentifiable flying objects.
Yes, they were flying quite high. How high, we couldn't tell because we couldn't get anywhere near their altitude. But they were either very large craft way up or smaller craft still well above what we could get to.
So, I mean, this is a gentleman that's coming out. He's passed away recently, but he came out the last 15 years of his life and was promoting this left and right, trying to get some experience, or his experience, on the front pages. And I'm asking the same question. Why does the general public not know about this? Why is the media not carrying this story?
Doc, the media doesn't, they want quick sound bites. They're just not, you have to look into more detail to these stories as far as the, and photos. There are photos out there that's been proven that, with the technology, they can see that they're not fakes, but they don't know, they can't prove what in the photo is not a fake. It could be a dummy, or it could be, that part could be a hoax. But there are clear pictures out there that I don't know why are not being publicized, but you can see clearer pictures of either, also of either alien crafts supposedly, or even beings.
I've seen them recently.
I've seen some people take pictures like on vacations and something shows up in the background that they didn't see. And it's very, you know, it's not like they're looking for UFOs. It's like in the background, things happen.
Right.
Or also, what's very interesting happens is when people use infrared cameras, when those films are developed, they see a lot on the infrared spectrum than the naked eye doesn't see. So there are things out there. You have to know where to look. But
and what happens? So let's say I capture one of these and I don't know what it is. What do I do?
Well, you can try and, there's like these hotlines you can call. You say, you know, can you evaluate this? Like UFO hotlines, they take it to labs, scientific labs, say, is this a hoax? Is this a real picture or what? You know, they can tell you that it's a real picture, but what is in it? Is it somebody setting it up or not? But sometimes there's some unexplained ones, just like the sightings from the eye, the photos, there's a lot out there.
I also would say that if anyone does see a UFO out there or take a picture, contact the Mutual UFO Network. It's called MUFON. It's been in existence as an organization since 1969.
MUFON.
They're located in Newport Beach. They've got a website, and they've got a convention every year, as a matter of fact, something that I'd like to go through in Arizona.
Oh, sure. they actually track the sightings. They have, by state by state, year by year, where these sightings are from people claiming that they saw them.
Again, that's MUFON, MUFON. So that is it's out there. But the question then is, MUFON gets this information, let's say, presents it to who?
Right. What do they do with it?
Right. I mean, is J. Fred Muggs on the Tonight Show going, I mean, the Today Show, if you will, going to present this? We're not in the 1950s anymore, but those characters on those talking heads, if you will, going to present this? I think that they're going to have a problem because they're going to think, this is my career here. I'm not really going to
People are going to say, this guy's obviously a nut.
They don't want to come forward.
Right.
Right. So we've got some issue on that front. Bear in mind that we're on every Saturday night at midnight, the perfect time for the witching hour for this kind of a discussion on Everything Old is New Again, Long Island News Radio. You won't believe the arguments we're having. Yes.
I have another question for the doctor.
Yes.
If there's time. This tooth is really bothering me. I'm kidding. So let me put it to this way, and I'd like your opinion on this. So if aliens with superior intelligence, as I'd like to believe, are actually visiting us, right? Mm. I think, wouldn't they want to communicate with us? Why would they want to be secretive about it? They've come all this way, and all this way meaning, as far as we know, it's millions of light years before we can even find evidence of someone, of anything out there. Why wouldn't they want to communicate to us? And so that's kind of, if they're showing up, why aren't they saying, hey, we're here, and the light's flashing and all that?
Those different theories. Theory is that they have communicated with us thousands of years ago and interacted with us and are kind of taking, just watching us. Think about it. If they come here and they have that technology, they have to be way, way, way ahead of us. I don't think they really are into interacting with us that much, maybe just observing us, possibly.
They just want to eat us or something?
No, I happen to feel that whatever is here is
not
after us. No, they're good. Although some people say there's different kinds. There's, you know, not just one species coming. There's been theories that there's many different types of species that have been here, and they all have different agendas. So,
but no one's found us interesting enough, I guess.
It's interesting in our culture. We've had a movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still, and the aliens came and were destroyed by the panic of.
I'm trying
the
to keep
public.
It real here, Doug. Not movies. I'm talking about when aliens.
Movies are real.
Movies are our reflection of our society and how we appreciate or don't appreciate what we're talking about. And we're going to.
Did
talk
I say
about
something anti-ufologist there?
No, you can't. We have 3 seconds left. We are going to talk about this next week, midnight Saturday. Everything Old is New Again. Come join us.
Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter you may have for a reasonable fee. If you're involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
Mexican Air Force pilots capturing on videotape what are said to be 11, count them, 11 UFOs, unidentified flying objects. They are officially there. Bright objects, some sharp points of light moving quickly across the sky. The tape called historic by some. Members of the Mexican Defense Department saying it's the first time UFOs have had the backing of any country's armed forces.
So that is Shepard Smith from the Fox News television station. We are Everything Old is New Again. We're discussing and continuing to discuss the UFO phenomenon. And is it real? Should it be taken seriously? I'm here with David Cohen, as usual. And we have our special guest returning, Dr. John Viviani, who is a self-proclaimed ufologist, if you will, and has been examining this subject for 30 years. He's, as an aside, a dentist in Huntington. So if you'd like
self-proclaimed.
To... Yeah. If you'd like to have some interesting discussion while having your teeth drilled, feel free to visit him on any Saturday afternoon. This is Everything Old is New Again. Let's talk about that clip. That was the Mexican Air Force who had followed UFOs, apparently, correct?
No, they were actually out looking for drug runners. And what happened was on their infrared feed, they saw the lights. It wasn't visible to the crew with the naked eye. And then the objects were flying side by side to the Mexican Air Force.
But on that clip, obviously that was on television, you could see through their what they were seeing. There's a clear videotape of what they saw. And you could see, and you could probably pull it up on YouTube, it's all I did, the lights and stationary lights of what appeared to be some kind of craft that does not look like an airplane or a helicopter. So it's an interesting topic, an interesting subject. And the first time, finally now, that was somewhere around 10 years ago, that this topic again now is kind of going mainstream.
So what happened? So what happened with that? It just died?
That's the killer. It gets presented. You can even hear Shepard Smith, the way he's presenting it. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek. He says, oh, this is kind of interesting, whatever. Is anyone going to become serious with this topic, or should it be serious? Should the mainstream, should someone in the mainstream take it seriously? If you want to hear this kind of information, you're going to hear it on, you know, there's another radio show that's broadcast late at night, and they take these topics all the time. I guess I can mention the name, Coast to Coast. And you can hear that and hear them talk about this. And again, they kind of get ridiculed. Why? Any answers?
I don't know. There must be some pressure from the government, or people just don't want to. They don't want to speak out to be ridiculed. I mean, this thing's 10 years ago. It's on tape from a government sanction saying this is not a hoax. We have this here. What more do you need to say? Listen, let's investigate this further.
Well, I think we need a government person from the government to actually start getting on board. And I think we may have that with this clip.
The fact that the Defense Department proves us otherwise, that it was probably some form of an alien spacecraft.
Now, that's Governor Fife Symington of Arizona. He was governor in 1997. So that, other than Jesse Ventura, I think, can say that that's a governor that has some...
What was he speaking about?
Yeah, he was speaking about the what's called the Phoenix Lights. So let's have the doctor explain to us what were the Phoenix Lights.
Well, first of all, the importance of the Phoenix Lights were there wasn't just one witness. There was thousands of witnesses. There was this V-shaped formation.
And when was this?
This was back in 1997, I believe.
So pretty recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it started, actually. It was in Nevada, Henderson, Nevada. There was these reports coming. And then 30 minutes later, it was in Phoenix. So it traveled very far, you know, fast, and was huge. This huge light formation, they said, that a 747 could land on this thing. That's how big it was.
There were stationary lights. They were not moving.
The lights themselves were stationary, right. And the craft did hover for 4 to 5 minutes in Phoenix, and you can go on YouTube and see it. It's sitting right there. We don't have anything that could stay and hover that's big. Hmm. And then it also did travel very quickly to other areas. It was caught on a local airport tower. Air traffic controllers saw this thing. It was not on radar. There was a lot of reports from all kinds of witnesses from all different walks of life. You have pilots, doctors, attorneys.
Well, I mean, if you've got the governor acknowledging that this existed, it's got some significance to it. Let's just take a look. We're running a little bit low on time here. I have another a clip from a Dr. Roger Lear, who is a surgeon. And let's talk and listen to what he's talking about in terms of this.
Dr. Lear supervised the procedure to remove the foreign object from Tim Cullen's arm. Although there was no original entry scar, a tiny metallic object was found under the skin.
Once the object was removed, we find two very surprising things. One is that there's absolutely no inflammatory response by the body to the object, which is quote-unquote impossible. And number two, we find that there's a large number of nerve cells there that really don't belong. We fortunately had a piece of equipment which was a radio frequency detector, and we actually detected two oscillating frequencies that were being emitted from the object. When they are removed, they don't do anything. We find that these objects contain metals which are not from this earth.
So, I mean, that's explain that. And he explained it kind of, but go into a little more details. What is he talking about?
Basically, he was taking pieces of metal out of people's arms and legs that they never had any accidents. They don't know how it got in there. They said, "What's this thing?" He takes it out, sends it to be analyzed to Los Alamos Lab. They tried to get it analyzed, and the analysis came back and said, "Well, the elements here are not found on Earth." And they didn't know it came from... taken from a person's body. They just sent it and said, listen, what is this?
And by the way, when I researched it, at least eight people.
I believe it was eight people and 17 objects and eight people.
and no scars or no, you know, when you insert something into your body, of course there's a scar in some way.
There was no
piece of metal.
Right.
So there was no scarring whatsoever. Now, what about this nerve business? What's going and the rejection of why is the fact that this piece of metal was not rejected significant?
Well, because it seemed to be incorporating itself into the body instead of being rejected. It actually was, the nerves were growing into this thing. And I saw one report when they actually saw, you could see the surgery on TV, on the YouTube. When he was trying to get the object, it actually kind of moved away from his forceps. It was not just stable.
And so, they also, it measured it, and they saw that while it was in the body, it had some, it gave off some
frequency.
Signal, some frequency, but when they took it out of the body, it stopped working.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to someone in the entertainment field that has a little bit of knowledge, or at least experience in this area, Steven Spielberg, and see what he has to say about it.
Well, I wouldn't put it past this government that a cosmic Watergate has been underway for the last, you know, 25 years. And at the same time, I don't think it's, I think as we're growing up, or from the government's point of view, I think we've been adults for hundreds of years, but from the government's point of view, we're still growing up, and eventually they might want to tell us something about what they've discovered over the decades.
So I think, of course, he did Close Encounters, and he's did quite a bit of research for that film, and he's got some interest, you know, in the topic as well.
So two questions.
Yes.
Okay, if there is a cover up, right? A, this would be incredibly difficult to cover up, right? This isn't just, you know, we found some Afghan terrorist hiding, and we can't disclose it for national security reasons. This is the greatest story in the history of the world, that we were contacted or we found some evidence of other life forms. And so many people would have to be involved in this cover-up. How can you keep it to yourself?
Well,
how could all of these people keep it to themselves?
Is it a cover-up, though? We've been talking about, you know, Shepard Smith went on the air with this Mexican story. It got no traction.
Well, little things like that might leak out, and that's an outlier. You can say he was a nut. You could say something, you know, or like to your point, no media person wants to cover it for fear of what's going to happen to their professional career.
Or it could be something that was experienced in our civilization in 1938, Orson Welles did a play in called The War of the Worlds.
Oh, so the fear of panic.
The fear of panic. Let's just listen to a little of that, see what that happened.
What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the mirror that leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Lord, they're turning into flames. The whole field caught by the woods of fires. The gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
And, of course, that goes silent for quite a while. I'm not going to leave silence on the air here. But and then they cut back into a radio broadcast of music. So back in the 1938, that
a lot of people panicked. They heard that on the radio, and they started leaving town, and they thought we were actually being invaded.
Right. He presented that as if it was, you know, a real occurrence. So that could be some of the reason they don't want panic to occur in the civilization.
John, are people really going to panic, though?
I don't know if they're going to panic, but there's another theory also that...
10 seconds.
Anyway, I can't get into it.
All right, we'll cover this another time. Long story short, I think Close Encounters gives us a good feel
for the
topic.
Do you want to give Doug a noogie right now for that? Little brother, big brother?
Shot of Novocaine.
This portion of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or are trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
Okay, we are back. I had to cut off the good doctor as we had left because I wanted to get the commercials in. But before we continue with that,
and he had to give you a wedgie, so for doing that,
I had
so
to make an excuse up. It sounded like the commercials was better than the wedgie issue, but okay. truth be told, long story short, I do want to get into why Close Encounters was played there and has a little significance to me. Spielberg took the subject seriously in that if we were to communicate with aliens that came to us, how would we do it? And through using mathematics and music, the way they did in that movie was genius to me, I guess, because I'm not so knowledgeable in either subject. But that was a way
that's pretty. It was pretty cool. It was an interesting idea, I think.
And Hollywood has had some ideas. We spoke about this briefly before. Hollywood, to me, the movies sometimes are a reflection of how the general public is thinking. They're not going to make a movie about UFOs or alien contact if no one is interested in the subject. We've seen back in 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still, as we spoke about, and that was the Close Encounters of the day. That took the general public's imagination by storm and open the floodgates to that kind of movie. We've seen Independence Day, where they've talked about with the president in that movie about Area 51, and you're kidding me, isn't it real, and so forth. So it's these theories we're talking about are now out there in the general public, and does that then lead to a movie like E.T., where now we've accepted the fact, a majority of Americans accept the fact that aliens are out there, whether they're visiting or not. Majority of Americans feel that we're not alone in the universe. So that being the case, now we have E.T. visit us, and he's very cute, and he's benevolent, and he's phoning home, and we're helping him get back to his civilization. So are we then having, or is Hollywood then in some way part of this, where they're allowing these movies to be made or promoting these movies to be made to then get the general public more used to this idea that we may be visited in the future, if not having been visited in the past? Dead silence.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I'll leave it there. I think I'm going to bow out of the conversation at this point and let the doctor take over in terms. Because I thought that was, to me, I think that that's, to me, that's what's happening.
But that was 30 years ago. I'm trying to think after E.T., I mean, to kind of flash forward here, what
well, you got Independence Day, and they're talking about it then.
But it was complete destruction, right? They're not presenting.
But we won the war. In other words,
the humans won.
The humans won, and that's all I
show.
Right.
They had signs, Bob Mel Gibson, the movie Signs.
Right. That's true about the crop.
And nothing's a coincidence. And even, it's like here's the idea. Now all of a sudden, those movies are showing the E.T., if you will, as being not so benevolent, but we're achieving against all the odds and the technology that they have, we are still winning that battle. So the general public, even if there are aliens and they're not benevolent, the general public is still okay with it, if you will, or not.
All right, so bringing it back from the movies to reality, just for a minute.
It is our reality.
Have you listened to the show? All right. No, but we did leave off. That's a good point what Dave is making, because we did leave off about talking about the panic, and the doctor had something to say about that.
So panic, right? What would people really panic?
Well, yeah, I was going to say another reason why they may cover up other than panic was perhaps if they have this technology, let's say this energy, they harness this energy and we're able to get off of our current energy, and it would tilt us upside down as far as the economic balance. As everything was all of a sudden free energy, would think about what the government would think about that and how that turns our society around. It's, you know, be great for us, but then our economy is like all messed up. It's all different. It's so maybe they are hiding some of the technology. They don't want to say, listen, we have this, we have that. You know, maybe that's another reason of a cover.
Right, right.
Well, there's one other story just to talk about. We don't have clips about it because there's just no sound bites on this because it's so complicated. But there was an investigation by the British government, and I think they're calling it Brightwater. So, Doctor, what was that whole
discussion?
That
was an Air Force base in England somewhere that they saw lights in the forest. So they went out to investigate, and you can actually hear the actual military tape. They were looking for, they thought it was something crashed there, and they went out and they saw lights, and they actually saw an object that looked like a big eye, as if something was looking at them. And one of the Air Force guys actually touched this object, and the next day he had this uncontrollable urge to write this binary code down. And this is 30 years ago. He didn't know about, we don't, pre-computers really for the general public, right. They don't know about binary code. He wrote 16 pages of binary code and also wrote these symbols of what he saw on this thing that he touched. And there's been investigation into what the heck, what does it mean, the code, you know, trying to figure it out. And there are some theories as far as what it does mean. There's some coordinates that came about and some theories about that. It's actually, these guys were time travelers because they had the year 8100, I think it was, that came across. But it was a military installation that sent these military guys out, and they didn't even speak about it for come public for years. So they had no personal gain to make this type
of
story.
But they had a use of binary code back 30 years ago, before the computer's binary code was even popular. So where did this how did this guy come up with this message
that
actually could be translated into a message, whatever the message
was? And
he
just, after he wrote it down, he put it away and forgot about it. After he got it out of his system, he said, all right, that's it. And some investigator was looking into it and said, what do you mean? You wrote this down, and then they're trying to figure out, you know, 30 years later what happened. But
after all this discussion, we're trying to just expose the topic and get the person with the open mind, which I know Dave has, to just at least consider, well, is this something that's worthwhile talking about, worthwhile investigating on the computer or wherever else, maybe even going to one of these conventions with me?
Now you're talking crazy. Alien life is one thing.
If they had the convention in Vegas, that'd be something. But in Arizona, I don't know. But where do you stand on it?
Well, you know, when as you guys are talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's really almost like a perfect storm here, because if there is some evidence of superior intelligence, that yes, I think to John's point, it could create havoc, maybe not panic like in War of the Worlds, but it could you know, disrupt the economy. There could be technology that's incredibly dangerous that the government doesn't want to tell us about. And so really what's happening is somehow maybe they're keeping it back, and the people who do report these little incidences occasionally could be ridiculed, or they don't report it because they're worried about their careers. So, you know, look, I'm yeah, I've kind of come over on the other side. I think if the confluence of evidence, what you're telling me here, would get me more interested, I'd like to find out more about it, because it's starting to make sense to me why, if it does exist, why it could not be, or it's not being widespread in terms of letting people know, because there are some logical reasons why. So,
There is a little bit of a breakthrough, if you will, with look at the presidents themselves. There is a story of Nixon bringing Jackie Gleason to a certain area and showing him bodies of aliens. I don't know if that's going to be legit or not, but that's out there. But more to the point is Jimmy Carter has admitted seeing something he called a UFO or unexplained. President Reagan, in a very famous speech, discussed, and he said, well, what, you know, if UFOs came around, just hinting about that, I mean, the President of the United States talking about it, if they came around, they would think that our problems are minuscule and we should be getting along together, because there's a much larger threat than just what's going on this planet.
I mean, there's an article that I don't know if you guys saw that just came out in National Geographic. Yes, I actually read National Geographic. I do.
Well, just for the pictures?
Yeah, not just for the pictures, just like Playboy. There's this whole article about how they're looking for other forms of life. We're spending millions of dollars, but just looking for carbon, just some water in a distant galaxy somewhere, the moon of Jupiter or something. All they want to know is that there's water or something carbon-based. And to make that leap to, well, not only is there something carbon-based, but, you know, they've got two eyes and they're talking to us and they visited, right?
Well, I don't even know that they would be carbon-based. See, I go as far as,
maybe not.
The stats of the universe are beyond belief in terms of what's possible out there, the numbers.
And that article actually does address it, that there could be life forms that we're just not sure exist, because we don't know anything about any other types of existence other than what can be chemically or what makes us up as people.
If we think it all has to be, what we have here has to be the same thing out there.
Right.
It's
not necessarily. Well, this is an interesting discussion. I hope you enjoyed it. Please email us at oldnewagain@aol.com. This is Everything Old is New Again. We will be back next week discussing horse racing. Is it dead or alive? Come on back to Everything Old is New Again.
So about that molar, I had this...